Welcome to the latest edition of Tales of an Outdoor Writer. I'm Mark Freeman, outdoor writer for the Mail Tribune newspaper here in Medford, Oregon. Here we are, as we usually are, at Four Daughters Irish Pub in downtown Medford. As usual, I'm here with Mail Tribune outdoor photographer Jamie Lush, talking about the stories behind the stories that we find while trying to put together the Oregon Outdoors section for every Friday in the Mail Tribune and MailTribune.com. Now, I know you guys pick up the paper. It looks like a really well-oiled machine. You know, we've got a lot of info, a lot of interesting, fun stuff, a lot of great photos and video every Friday at MailTribune.com. But truth is, we're winging this stuff half the time. We try to plan this stuff. We have tried to plan in the past. But it just never works to plan. And oftentimes, we end up climbing off a story that we think we're going to do because we find a better one. You know, it's hard for, you know, regular empathetic people to understand this, but I guess the best way I can explain it is I got a kid, a daughter who plays basketball, and you're always at games, taking photos and videos. Just you're there to take pictures and videos of your kid, right? Well, say there's another kid playing that's playing way better than your kid. Of course, you're going to take pictures of your kid and post the stuff on Facebook of your kid, but We gotta dump my kid and do the story on the better kid, because you guys don't want the second best story we can come up with in any given week. You want the best, and you deserve it. Sometimes it gets a little crazy, though. I remember one, we were on going to Emigrant Lake. It was 2012. We're there to do a story about this woman and her son. I think they were, it was a stand-up paddleboard thing, and I think they were going to do some competition that weekend. Jamie and I are going to meet there, and he gets there first.
Yeah, so I got to the assignment a little bit early. It was a nice day, and pulled down into Emigrant Lake, and got out of the car and got the gear ready, and there was, the guy on a giant jet rocket, what was that thing called?
A jetivator.
A jetivator.
What we found out what a jetivator was shortly after that was in a contraption that's hooked up to a jet ski, where it takes all the water shot out of the pump of a jet ski, runs it through a tube, long tube hose, into some jets that this guy has strapped to his feet. So he's flying around in the air, like 20, 30 feet in the air, but using the force of the water, and he's flying around and dips and diving. It was like some weird-ass thing out of a comic book.
Yeah, so it was definitely visually compelling. I was going to shoot it, so I just decided to start shooting it and shot the crap out of it. Mark showed up, and I was like, Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, it was like I pulled up, and I see him down there. I see this guy flying in the air. I'm like, well, SUPs can wait, because this is way more interesting. And it really was a real good visual.
Yeah, it was a great shot.
And those poor people, those SUP people pulled up and like, sorry, we're kind of busy. So we climbed off that horse and rode that jetivator that day. And great videos. One of the things when you end up doing these off-the-cuff things, things do get a little more random. Like, this guy had a, it was some kid was doing this, and he had like his half-drunk uncle there, kept interrupting us, and he was kind of a pain in the ass, but
yeah, we hadn't planned on working with these people. We didn't know who they were or really anything about them, but what they were doing was pretty cool, and we'd never seen it before, but yeah, that guy was pretty hammered.
The story got tons of clicks, too. It was the first time anybody had seen anything like this. Since then, it's shown up at all the outdoor shows in the Pacific Northwest. Sometimes we end up going out on some relatively mundane story and something really dramatic happens. And I remember one of those was the fall of 2010. That was when Gold Ray Dam was taken out of the Rogue River. So the dam was already taken out. What was left was the Coffer Dam, which was this temporary dam built around the side of the area to get the water out so you can actually do the deconstruction of the dam. I were there to do a story, like they were going to pull the plug on the cofferdam and the Rogue was going to flow free. It was like in a couple of days or something like that, and we met down there. And it was really pretty dull. And what was it? You were like waiting around. I left.
I don't remember exactly the hook of the story that day when we were originally there. But I hung out a little while longer after Mark left. And all of a sudden I saw the Rogue River below the dam grow exponentially in a matter of seconds, and I wasn't sure what was going on, but I was pretty sure the cofferdam had broke loose.
What turned out, it was the sand spit between, that held part of the cofferdam together, sand spit between the road and Tolo Slough. Some beaver had burrowed into that thing, and enough water had gotten in, and it chewed it away, and it blew the river out with, you know, usually when you take a dam out and you got a free-flowing river for the first time in 106 years, you got people standing around, you got everybody and their sister with a wooden leg there with a camera. And it's just Jamie.
Yeah, I was pretty sure it was young in my career, and I was pretty sure this is a big story. I think I needed to call the editors and get Mark back here. So I called my editor at the time, Bob Pinnell, and I was like, hey, Bob, I think this is a pretty big story. We need to get Mark back here. We need to get on the web. We need to let everyone know that the river's free-flowing for the first time in 106 years. And my editor, I think he was busy on another assignment, probably shooting the front page for the next day or something, and he kind of blew me off. He didn't quite get it, and he almost basically hung up the phone on me. So I was like, wait. So I called him back, and I'm like, wait, this is a story. Mark needs to come back, and he kind of got it. So then I finally, I'm just going to call Mark. Called Mark, and he was like, okay, I'm coming, yeah.
So he scrapped the lame story and did the story of, Rogue River flowing dam-free for the first time in 106 years. And sometimes the run-of-the-mill story gets replaced by something just totally crazy. That happened a few years ago. Remember, we were down, for some reason, we were on the Ashland bike path with some old guy in a recumbent bicycle. Remember that? Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the story is. And I guess that's the thing. Is the stories you blow off are never ones you remember. You don't remember the ones you do and the crazy ones you do. And the only reason I remember this guy is because of what happened when we were there.
So, yeah, I think I photographed this guy, I don't know, 3 or 4 times. Just the old guy and I think it was a safety story. So it's like, okay, let's walk down the trail and we'll find a nice, you know, scenic spot and we'll get another bike shot. And we're heading down the trail, and what do we run into?
Yeah, this guy comes by, and he says, hey, watch out, man, there's two loose llamas and right around the corner. They're huge-ass llamas in the bike path. And it's one of those weird spots where it's all fences on one side and all heavy trees on the other. And apparently these things had broken out a day or two before from a backyard along the bike path. And they're running them back and forth and just driving people crazy. So we're like, well, okay.
I guess there's might be some llamas on the way. So we started cruising down, and sure enough, there was a llama right in the middle of the path blocking the way. I'll say back when I was 8 years old, I was on a backpacking trip in Yellowstone, and it was a llama backpacking trip. And one of those llamas decided to kick me in the gut, and then it turned around and looked at me and spit right in my face. And another time, a llama ate my lunch on the Deschutes River, hiked super far down in, had nothing to eat, so I'm really not a big fan of llamas. Kind of traumatized by those past experiences, actually.
So he was kind of freaking out when he sees this thing, and it just gets up and just runs right by us. It runs right at us, and kind of gives us a little juke, and runs past us, and this guy on the bike is kind of like, what the hell is going on? I almost stepped on him, and it was pretty weird, and then the other one wants to go with the other one, but he's too afraid to run past us, and he runs up to us a couple times and back up to us, and he comes really close, and he's got his head down, and it looks like he might bite the guy on the bike, and I'm standing next to him, and I'm thinking, man, I'm going to have to go all Blazing Saddles on this llama and punch him in the face if he tries to bite this old man.
That would have been a photo.
Yeah. This kind of standoff went on for about 5 minutes, and finally, thing ran right past us and, you know, brushed right next to you.
Yeah.
And down. So what do? We ditched the old man on the bike and chased the llamas and put together a story about how these two llamas were terrorizing the city of Ashland. And it was pretty funny. Certainly better than whatever the hell thing we were doing with that guy. Well, that's what we got for you today. If you like what you hear, share it with your friends. If you don't, share it with your enemies. You can check out the backlog of Tales of an Outdoor Writer under the podcast section at www.mailtribune.com. Better yet, come down to Four Daughters and buy me a beer. Either way, we'll see you outside. Don't forget to say hi.